ready? I need some readers to volunteer to ask questions. Okay, you're gonna go first. You're gonna go second. You're gonna go third. And you're gonna go fourth. All right, everybody ready? You're all reporters. So we're the press corps. Ready? Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here from SJBC News, coming to you live from St. John's Broad Creek. This morning, we have the great pleasure of welcoming Bishop Mary Ann Buddy. Bishop Mary Ann, thank you so much for being with us today. Our reporter Nina would like to ask you the first question.
What does a bishop do?
Trick question.
I know. A bishop, like me, visits and worships with a different church every Sunday. There are 88 churches under my care. A bishop tries to offer support and encouragement to every one of those churches and their leaders. A bishop raises up new leaders for the church. Sometimes a bishop like me speaks on our collective behalf in government or in other social settings. And whenever there's a problem in a church, my office gets a phone call. I rarely get a phone call when things are going well. So I tend to see myself as a bit of a community organizer and a problem solver and an encourager and a spiritual leader.
Nina, would you pass our pretend microphone on? Would you ask your question, please?
What is your favorite part of your work?
What is my favorite part of my work? I love all of my work. I would say my favorite part is worshiping with different churches every Sunday.
You pass the microphone on.
What is your favorite flavor of ice cream?
What is my favorite flavor of ice cream?
We had never a question that was relevant.
Wow, yeah. I would say mint chocolate chip.
How many of you is that your favorite? Do you guys like mint chocolate chip?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, we got some people who agree with the bishop here. All right. Pass it on. And our last question.
Tell us what you like to do for fun.
What do I like to do for fun? I like to spend time with my kids, and I like to ride my bicycle.
Thank you very much, Bishop Mary Ann, for visiting us on SJBC News.
I think that was a first. Let me just get my bearings here a bit. Very good to be with you all. Speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Let me say again how overjoyed I am to see St. John's Broad Creek so alive and so blessed in its life. How grateful I am to your good rector, Sarah Oderstall, and the leadership of this congregation. So many blessings to those who are confirming and reaffirming your faith today, commitment to follow Jesus in his way, and for those being received as full members of the church. I am so happy. So happy to be here. And it has been, as Reverend Sarah has shared with me, a very good year at St. John's in many ways, and it has been a challenging one. And the goodness is evidenced by the spirit in this place, the joyful love that you share, the depth of your commitment to grow in faith and in love, the increased engagement in study of Scripture, worship, and service. Presence of children. And one of the challenges has been rain. And the flooding of your property. And the continued flooding actually raises hard issues for your leadership and places considerable stress on your rector and her family. So please know that I am here today to celebrate the goodness and vitality of St. John's as a community of faith and to do whatever I can to support your leaders with the challenges they face and to ask the question, which I always ask, what can we do to align the structures intended to support the ministry of a community so that they are not a hindrance to it? For I am persuaded that the one who has begun such a good work in you, in each one of you, and as a congregation will see it through to completion, and that the Holy Spirit working in us can accomplish far more than we can ask for or imagine. God's Spirit at work in us is not the same thing as our working for God. Now, sometimes I get confused about that, and I imagine that I'm the one whose responsibility it is to do good things for God and to convince and encourage other people like you to do good things for God or for the church or for your families or for the world. And that's certainly better than not doing good, right? It's better than doing harm. But friends, the transformational power we are privileged to be a part of in this life happens when we focus actually less on ourselves and more on Jesus. When we open ourselves to the love of God made known to us in Jesus and then do our best to align ourselves with that love. Now, that aligning may require hard work on our part, but it is fundamentally a different experience with a different energy than when we work from our strength alone for God's sake. A mentor wrote me this week one of those encouraging letters that came at just the right moment with a word that I needed to hear. And that word was, get out of the way and let God do the heavy lifting. Now, in Alcoholics Anonymous, if you're familiar with 12-step spirituality, there's a similar slogan, right? It's let go and let God. Now, that doesn't mean that we can simply go passive in our lives and not do anything. That's not it at all. But rather that we learn somehow to wait and to trust and to be still before taking action so that we can allow God's power to work in and through us. Now, we can't know for certain how this divine human alignment works. We aren't in control of it, and we certainly don't get it right from our side all the time. I know that I don't. But still, I want to remind you, this is the fundamental Christian experience, feeling a power and a presence at work in and through us that assures us we are not alone, that Jesus is Lord, and we are not. In other words, we are not in charge. Our call is to follow where he leads. Now, there are a number of images that can help us picture in our minds what this is like and to live in the experience. A friend of mine, she speaks of putting her hand in Jesus' hand and walking with him. Another speaks of allowing Jesus to drive the car of his life, giving Jesus the wheel, right? And still another, who's a horseback rider, she uses the image of dropping the reins, which is what riders sometimes do when they're lost, trusting that the horse knows the way home. There's actually a song written by a folk singer, Kate Campbell, entitled Jesus is the Way Home. And it goes like this. The first verse is, if you're ever in the Richmond jail with no one around to go your bail, if you've lost your way, it might help to know Jesus is the way home. If you're trying to put that whiskey down and you realize you're losing ground, you don't have to walk that road alone. Jesus is the way home. You don't have to worry where you're at or why you're there. He knows all that. Just let the good book be your map, because Jesus is the way home. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the scripture readings that are before us today were chosen in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who was assassinated actually 51 years ago this week, as he was leaving the Lorraine Hotel in Memphis, Tennessee. And King had gone to Memphis against the counsel of his closest advisors. He went because he was wanting to be in solidarity with African-American sanitation workers who were on strike, seeking better pay and working conditions more in parity with the white workers of the city. And knowing that he was under constant death threats at the time, his colleagues around him worried what would happen to King if he went to Memphis. And his reply to them, which he spoke about actually when he preached that previous Sunday, the last Sunday of his life at Washington National Cathedral, he hearkened back to Jesus' story of a man wounded on the roadside and three other men who passed by, right? And he said the first two men asked the question, if I stop to help the wounded man, what will happen to me? And the third man, who was a Samaritan, who was an enemy, asked the question, if I don't stop to help the wounded man, what will happen to him? If I don't go to Memphis, he said, what will happen to the sanitation workers? And the first passage that was read to us so beautifully was taken from the book of Genesis, asking us to think of Dr. King in comparison, poignant comparison, to the young Joseph, who was resented by his older brothers for his father's favor and for his dreams. Come, let us kill the dreamer, they said, and we will see what becomes of his dreams. Now, if King's dream had been his alone, it may well have died with him. But his dream was, in fact, God's dream. God's dream that had taken residence up in him. The dream was of God's justice. And it is a dream that will never die. It can't die. It will be passed on from one generation to the next until it is fully realized. Now we, like King, can take up parts of God's dream, aligning ourselves with God's love that is most fully embodied in Jesus. And to do that, my friends, is the highest thing we can aspire to in this life, even if most of us live that love, live our part of God's dream in relatively modest ways. It's an amazing thing to be swept up by God's dream, to be able to live something of God's love. But it doesn't make necessarily for an easy life. Jesus made that clear. But what a life it can be. Such a life moves us from life on the surface and all of its concerns to depth and real meaning. The brilliant author Toni Morrison gave a commencement address at Sarah Lawrence College a few years ago, And I loved it because she told the graduates quite directly that she was not all that interested in their happiness. And she said, it's not that I don't want you to be happy. I want you to have it. You clearly deserve it. Everyone does. I hope it continues for you or comes effortlessly, quickly, and always. But I don't think it's all it's cracked up to be. And I'm not that interested in it. Not yours, not mine, not anybody's. I don't think we can afford it anymore. I don't think it delivers the goods. Most important, it gets in the way of everything worth doing. I want to talk about the activity you were warned against as being wasteful, impractical, and hopeless. I want to talk to you about dreaming. Having a dream can change the world, most especially when it's God's dream living in us. It's the dream that won't die, no matter what happens to you. It's the hope that will never let you go. It's the love that can move mountains. Now, in the last years of King's life, he called white Americans to task for our superficial commitments. The great majority of white Americans, he said, are uneasy with injustice but unwilling to pay a significant price to eradicate it. But he also addressed the rising bitterness and anger and call for violent resistance among the next generation of African American leaders, for which he had great sympathy. I should have known, he wrote, that in an atmosphere where false promises are daily realities, where deferred dreams are nightly facts, where acts of unpunished violence toward Negroes are a way of life, that nonviolence would eventually be questioned. But till the day he died, till violence took his life, King rejected violence as a strategy and a way of life. Darkness cannot drive out darkness, he said. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. He was, to the end, a follower of Jesus, the one from God who was sent to death unswayed by his commitment to love even his enemies. So let me close with this last word from King. He said, near the end now, he said, "You know, I've decided to stick with love. For love is ultimately the only answer to humankind's problems. And I'm going to talk about it wherever I go. I know it isn't popular to talk about in some circles. Now, I'm not talking about emotional bosh. When I talk about love, I'm talking about a strong, demanding love, for I've seen too much hate. I've seen too much hate on the faces of sheriffs in the South. I've seen too much hate in the faces of Klansmen and white citizens' councils. I don't want to hate myself, because every time I see it, I know that it does something to their faces. And I say to myself, hate is too great a burden to bear. I've decided to love. If you're seeking the highest good," he said, "I think you can find it through love, for God is love. God's love will have the last word. May it be our last word, our first word, our second word, our last word. God's love living in us, God's dream embodied in us." I'd like to pray with you, if I might. Gracious God, I hold before you these your beloved gathered here and pray your blessing upon each one of them. May they know, may we all know, that your desire is to empower us with your love, inspire us with your dreams, and show us how to live and give us the strength and courage we need every day to follow Jesus in his way of love. Help us to remember that he is the source of our strength. He is the strength of our life. He is our way home. May each one of us here feel now the power of his presence and his love. In his name we pray. Amen.
plans. Please stand. Bishop Mary Ann, I present these persons for confirmation. May I have those being received please stand? I present these persons for reception in the Episcopal Church. And those reaffirming, please stand. I present these persons for reaffirmation.
Thank you. Asking those of you standing now, these are reaffirming words of promises made at your baptism. Do you reaffirm your renunciation of evil?
I do.
Do you renew your commitment to Jesus Christ?
I do, and with God's grace, I will follow him as my Savior and Lord.
Thank you. And to the rest of the congregation, I ask now, will you who witness these vows do all in your power to support these persons in their life in Christ?
We will.
Let us join with those who are committing themselves to Christ and renew our own baptismal covenant. As you are able now, I invite you to stand. These first three questions are questions of belief. You might substitute the word trust every time you hear the word or say the word believe. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. Third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
These next five questions are questions of action and intention. They are the behaviors that define a Christian life. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers?
I will, with God's help.
Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord?
I will, with God's help.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ?
I will, with God's help.
Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?
I will, with God's help.
Will you strive for justice and peace among all people, and respect the dignity of every human being?
I will, with God's help.
Let us now pray for these persons who have renewed their commitment to Christ.
Deliver them, O Lord, from the way of sin and death.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Open their hearts to your grace and truth.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Fill them with your holy and life-giving spirit.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Keep them in the faith and communion of your holy church.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Teach them to love others in the power of the Spirit.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Send them into the world in witness to your love.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Bring them to the fullness of your peace and glory.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Almighty God, we thank you that by the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcome sin and brought us to yourself. And that by the sealing of your Holy Spirit, you have bound us to your service. Renew in these, your servants, the covenant you have made with them at their baptism. Send them forth in the power of that Spirit to perform the service you set before them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
As those coming forward for prayers do so, the rest of the congregation may be seated.
Good evening. Recognize you as a member of the Long Holy Catholic Apostolic Church. And with great joy, we welcome you into the fellowship of this communion. May God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless, preserve, and keep you. Amen. Karen, may the Holy Spirit, who has begun such a good work in you, direct and uphold you in the service of Christ and his kingdom.